Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
I don't want to be real hard this morning, but I want you to listen very carefully at what I'm going to be talking about this morning. And I want you to kind of open your mind, and I want you to kind of feel like, Lord, are you talking to me personally or God to the church collectively? But Lord, if it's me personally, God, open my mind that I can understand, that I can comprehend. Lord, that I might know what you are talking about. God, I want to know because I want to make heaven my home. And my desire, my prayer this morning as I waited on the Lord was that God would open your mind and open your understanding and shut everything else out that you're thinking about today, this afternoon, yesterday, tomorrow, or whatever it is, and for just about 30 minutes that you would lend your mind unto God and perhaps unto me as we begin to deal with the word of the Lord. Folks, this is a very, very, very important message, not because I'm preaching it, because the Holy Spirit has given it to me for our church, and I want you to listen to it and understand it. If you would have your Bibles and you would open them to Genesis chapter 15. We're going to begin reading at about verse number 5, or maybe verse number 4. We might begin there, Brother Jimmy, as well. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for those that are here. God, we're so grateful and so glad that they're in our church today. And Father, more than anything else in this world, I'm asking you, Lord, to give us understanding, wisdom, knowledge, freedom, liberty, Lord, to expound the Word of God in a way that it'll anchor in their heart, in their mind, that God, when they leave here, they'll not forget, Lord, what you have spoken unto them for. We pray that you would hide us away behind the cross, give us strength and energy, and help us, Lord, today to minister your eternal Word, and God will be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen and amen. There's a story told in the book of Genesis about Abraham, and it's quite a very interesting story, and there's many things that's told about this great man of God, and but this particular thing is one that has kind of intrigued me and kind of stirred me up as I began to read and study. And so I want you to listen to it. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me. Abraham is saying, God came and spoke unto me. And he was saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought forth abroad and brought me forth abroad and said, look now towards the heaven and tell me the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto me, so shall thy seed be. He said unto Abraham, I want you to look. You had to be in the night hour. I want you to look. And if you can possibly count all the stars in heaven, I want you to know that that's the way your seed is going to be, or the seed that's coming out of you is going to be. And the Bible said, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the land of Ur, or out of the land of Sin, unto the Chaldeans, and to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took them unto him, all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each one against another. But the birds he divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. I want to give you a picture this morning about God came to Abraham, and God wants to bless Abraham. And out of Abraham, God wants to create a seed that is going to be forever, and not only in this life, but is going to exist in the life beyond that, beyond this world. God was going to create a people that he loved and was going to create them. And so the picture is that God came to Abraham, and I don't know if he's asleep or a vision or what it was, or verbally, or how it transacted, but he came to him, and he began to speak unto him, and he said, Abraham, I want you to count the stars, and if you're able to count them, then you're able to count the seed that's going to come out of you that is going to occupy planet Earth. And then Abraham believed God, and the Bible said it was counted unto him for righteousness because he believed what God said unto him. Now, this is quite a thing because it has yet not taken place and nothing has transpired that could possibly make Abraham to believe this. He had not had a son. Of the seed of Sarah, so there was no son. Abraham was about 100 years old. His wife was in the late 90s. And God come to him and said, you know, out of you, out of your seed, is going to come a seed that's going to inhabit the entire world. And now I want to get a picture of this. And so the Bible said Abraham believed God. Now, how did Abraham believe God when he didn't have a son? He had no strength to... their son could be born unto him. His wife was beyond the age of bearing any children whatsoever. But God said, it's going to happen, Abraham, and I want you to believe it. Abraham, if you believe me, he said, I want you to provide a sacrifice. And so Abraham provided the heifer and all of these items on the altar, and he offered them unto God. And then as Abraham offered this sacrifice unto God, the fowls of the air or the vultures or whatever was there, they began to swoop down and they began to eat at the sacrifice that Abraham gave unto God or that belonged unto God. They began to devour that sacrifice, and all of a sudden Abraham rose up, and with that staff that he had in his hand, he began to swat at this one, he swatted at that one, and the Bible said he drove away the vultures that was trying to devour the sacrifice that he had given unto God. Now, understand this, that in order for Abraham to receive the blessing, he had to protect the sacrifice, amen? He had to offer, not only offer that sacrifice unto God, but he had not only to offer it, but he had to protect that sacrifice that he was offering unto God. I don't know what the vultures were. The Bible just said they began to sweep down and they began to partake of them. So the blessing that he was going to give had to depend on him protecting the sacrifice that he was offering unto his God. Now in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse number 1, everybody has a sacrifice that we have offered unto God. Individually today we are offering a sacrifice unto God. And he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your life, your body, your mind, your spirit, your soul, when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are offering unto God this spiritual sacrifice or this body for him and for his use and for his glory. That's the good part about it, but then there comes the part about it where that you have to protect that sacrifice in order to receive the blessing that God has for you. You've got to protect that sacrifice. My sacrifice is me. I've got to protect this. I've offered it unto God. I give it unto God. I say, Lord, here I am. Father, I surrender it all unto you. I give myself unto you. Now the responsibility becomes mine to protect that sacrifice as the fowls of the air begin to try to devour that sacrifice that I have offered unto God. And that is what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the fowls of the air that is trying to devour your sacrifice that you have offered unto God today. Now remember, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the blessing. This is the promise that God has promised unto you, that if you and I would protect the sacrifice that we have offered unto him. You cannot enter in with a sacrifice that's been chewed on by the things of this world. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God with things that have latched onto you, that refuse to let go and cause you to begin to lose your strength, your energy, and everything that you have in order to offer unto God. If you want the blessing, you got to protect the sacrifice that God has offered or allowed you to offer unto him. So this is what I want to talk about for just a little bit this morning. And I trust you'll not get upset or you get angry. If you do, you've got to get it angry at God, because God has laid it upon my heart to give it to you. Now you and you alone must protect this sacrifice. I cannot do it for you. Brother Leonard can't do it for you. Dennis can't. Brother Jimmy can't. We can pray for you. We can ask God to help you. But you are the one that's got to drive away these birds, these foul birds that is trying to devour your sacrifice. You and you alone. Me and me alone has got to protect this that belongs unto God. It's my responsibility not only to give it to God, but to make sure it's holy and it's acceptable unto God today. Amen. Holy and acceptable. Somebody say amen. And get what this is, all right. So let's talk a little bit about the birds that we that are coming. You know, some of them dive down on us when we're really not looking for them to happen. We've got a squirrel in our yard, and I sit on the back porch, and I was kind of watching him, and he was digging here, and here came it must have been a blackbird, and he dove down on that squirrel, and boy, now the squirrel's a lot bigger than that blackbird, but that blackbird literally drove him out of the yard. It was kind of amusing to watch the way that happened, driving him out of his area that he was in. So you today need to realize that some of these birds are small, and some of them are very large, and some of them are very cunning. You don't realize that they have begun to pick away at your sacrifice until they get deep enough to where it begins to hurt you, and you begin to feel what they're doing on you. The first bird I'd like to talk about is complacency that we have within our life today. As Christian people, we become so easily complacent when it comes to serving God. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't want to hurt you, but I want to help you today. That you've got to wake up and understand that complacency is kind of like maybe Abraham would have felt, maybe kind of tired in body, or maybe kind of weary in body. And maybe he thought, well, I'll just let one of these birds have that little dove. It won't amount to much. Or maybe I'll let one of them have that, that other little atom. It's not going to hurt too much. I've still got the main part of the sacrifice intact. And that's kind of the way that we are today in serving God. Complacency means that we're self-satisfied or satisfying ourselves rather than satisfying God. We're not protecting this this sacrifice that we have given unto God today. So let me show you. I want to make it so plain you can understand it. You may get upset, but it's going to help you today. You know, we come to church and we got saved and we worship God. And brother, you could not keep you out of church when you first gave your heart to God. When you got saved, you'd come every time the church doors would open. I remember when I first got saved and I had to work and I couldn't be in a service, and the service was going, and I got home late. Maybe the service going, I'd sit on outside of the listen through the window, the songs, the message. My heart was aflame because I wanted to worship God. But over a period of time, we become complacent. We become just like, it's all right for me to go to church on one day a week. I can get enough of God. I'll just let that foul thing, that complacent, just take the little thing, but I'll protect the big thing, God. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to bring my sacrifice, Lord, one time a week, and I'm going to offer it unto you that one time. But Lord, I gotta satisfy myself the rest of the week, and therefore, God, I don't have time for you. Amen. Are you listening to me? We become complacent in our serving God. It's so easy to make an excuse not to serve God. And that's why so many pastors are heartbroken and so many churches are closed today. Had a pastor talk to me on the phone a while back, and he said, I don't know, Brother Clark, what I'm going to do. He said, I've got the church open. I'm paying the bills. I'm paying the electric bills. I'm paying everything that I can. I'm giving my tithe. I give my time. I'm preaching unto them. But he said, Brother Clark, I'm down to about six people in the church because they just won't come and won't be in the house of God. This is happening all over America today because of complacency in the children of God. Come on now, say amen. It's not to hurt you, but it's to help you to understand what caused you to begin to decide you couldn't come on a Wednesday night or on a Sunday night, or what happened in your life where you felt like you could get enough of God one day a week, and that's all that you're going to offer that sacrifice unto Him. What caused you to do that and get away from God in that way? Oh, Pastor, I'm saved. I believe you are. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the sacrifice that you're offering unto Almighty God today has to be holy and has to be acceptable unto the Lord Jesus. Amen. So are you giving it all to Him, or are you giving it to Him peacemaker? I'll give you a little piece today. I'll give you a little piece next week. I'll give you a little piece the week after that. But God, as far as the rest of it, Lord, I've got to satisfy myself. And therefore, we become complacent in serving God. Are you with me today? Listen. The second bird that I'd like to talk to you about is the bird of fear. Abraham was in the night. It was in the nighttime because he could count the stars. And you know, fear is a very horrible bird today. Come on, fear will. I can't explain to you. You know what fear is, or I can't explain. But you know what? The devil is constantly and forever trying to give you the gift of fear. Are you with me? Health-wise, financial-wise, job-wise, it doesn't make a difference. The devil is offering you this. Now it has to be the devil, because God said He hath not given us the spirit of fear. So it cannot be from God, but it has to be from the devil, that foul spirit or that foul bird of fear that begins to come upon our life. Jesus said, I've not given you the spirit of fear. So the devil serves it up on a beautiful platter, and he tells us, everybody, it's healthy to have a little bit of fear in your life. The only fear we're supposed to have is the fear of God. Because the Bible said perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. What is perfect love? It's a holy and acceptable gift unto God. My sacrifice. I don't own myself anymore. I am not mine. I belong to God. I've given my sacrifice unto Him. It belongs unto Him. And God will consume it for His glory. But if I try to bring in complacency and I try to have fear come upon my life, then, brother, something has to take place to change things in my life. Listen to what it said in 2 Timothy 2:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. In Psalms 9:1-5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I prayed the other day and I said, Lord, there's two things I'd like to have from you. God, just two things. Lord, don't want anything else. It's not money, it's not that. It's not health and not that. I just want two things from you, Lord. If you would give them to me, I'd be happy about it. I said, Lord, number one, I just want to know that you're near me and you're here and you're surrounding me. God, that's all I want as the number one. And then the second thing is, God, I want you to deliver me from all fear. I don't want any fear whatsoever in my life. Lord, just two things would you do, God? That's all I ask you to do. And just let me know that you're near and take away all fear. You know what? The Bible said that when God takes away all fear, you are perfect in love. Amen? Perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, what he said. The Lord's on my side. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to wait upon him. Remember, your blessing is dependent on your protecting your sacrifice. Isaiah 12:2 said, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I'm not going to be afraid. Amen? And because you know what? Fear hath torment every time. If you realize and you ever, I'm sure that sometime in your life, someplace where in your life, you've had that horrible, ungodly spirit of fear that so come upon you. I don't know, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I when I was in the service, I had something happen to me that I had such a spirit of fear grip me that I absolutely could not speak. I mean, I had lost my ability to speak because of this dominating fear, because of this certain thing that happened or was about to happen in my life. I know what fear is, and I know how that it'll dominate your life. I know how it'll take away your peace. I know how it'll take away your joy. Remember this, but this sacrifice has got to be holy, and it's got to be acceptable unto God. Amen? So God don't want his children to be afraid. Amen? He said, let us come boldly to the throne of God that we can have divine mercy and grace in the time of need. He said, come unto me all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end of the world. Everything in the Word of God Jesus has put in there that is to take away the spirit of fear out of our life and give us peace and joy and rest and contentment in him. Are you with me this morning? Are you listening to what I'm saying? These birds, these foul birds that try to take away. All right. Let me, my time is getting away very quickly. Of course, this doesn't bother you. This is one thing you probably doesn't bother you at all. But there's that foul spirit or foul bird of doubt. Probably you never had any doubt. Probably you don't worry about doubt. And you don't worry. I mean, maybe you never doubt, but I have. I've experienced doubt in my life. I've experienced doubt, within my life. And it's an unsettling opinion that settles within our life today. That we get this doubt. Oh, God, is heaven really real? I've had that question asked me I don't know how many times about people that are about getting ready to pass over, and they'll say, Pastor, is heaven really real? And then you tell them the Word of God, and they lighten up, and they would be blessed of the Lord. Or you would tell people that is going to go through surgery. Pastor, you know, are you telling me the truth? Is everything all right? And, you know, doubt begins to get into the life. Listen to what Jesus said. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him, they're not going to perish. Amen. In John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. In John 11:25, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. John 20:31, but these are written that you might believe. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. Doubt is something that takes away your peace and your joy. Let me tell you something. If you have given your sacrifice to God, you have given your life to God, you love Jesus Christ with all of your heart, I promise you, beyond the shadow of any doubt, one day you'll stand before him and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joys of the Lord. Don't let the devil tempt you with it. Let me try to bring this all together in just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. Pastor, what do we do about these things today? What do we do? We all face them. We all face fear. We all face complacency. You know, there's a lot of Sunday mornings I wake up and I drive by Sedgwick Park and somebody's out there fishing. And I think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful? You're the pole. Get out there and get that pole. Catch that 5-pound catfish, you know, and just sit back with a cold Pepsi and ham sandwich and just sit there and realize, you know, we're all that way. There's nothing wrong with those kind of feelings, with the exception that you don't give in to them as a child of God. So what are we going to do, Pastor? How are we going to handle this? First of all, 1 Timothy 6:12, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. When it comes time to go to church and you'd like to sit there and watch Hopalong Cassidy or you can tell how old I am, you know, go back some of them, or you'd like to watch that program, or you kind of feel a little weary in body, it's so easy to become complacent and said that, well, they're not going to miss me, it'll be all right, God, I'm just going to take a day, I'm going to rest, and everything's going to be fine. But Jesus said you got to fight, you got to do something to protect your sacrifice. Abraham took that rod, and brother, he was serious. He was all batting all these kind of birds that were coming against him. He fought very hard. It was dark. He couldn't hardly see anything. He could only hear the flapping of the wings as they began to devour his sacrifice. You're in a night hour. You're in a time where you can't see. There's doubt within your mind. And complacency begins to take hold, and you want to sit down. You can't do that. You got to fight the good fight of faith. You got to lay hold on eternal life. Colossians 3:2 said, you got to set your affections on things above and not on things on this earth. Ephesians 6:11 said, you got to put on the whole armor of God. We're in a battle. We're in a serious battle. Our sacrifice is being devoured, being picked on by the foul things of this world. And we, as the children of God, have got to come alive and begin to do something to ward off those things. So we've got to do something. Is it your sacrifice today that you're protecting? I can't help you do that. I can pray for you, and I do. I can encourage you, and I will. I lift you up before God and ask God to give you that hunger, that thirsting, and that longing for a deep faith in God, and I do that. I call your name before God. Every time I come to church, I call your name. God bless Brother Walker. God bless Leonard. Bless Sister Betty. Brother Jimmy. God bless all of these. Brother Don and Stephanie. Brother, I call every name. And I'm not saying that for any glory. I'm trying to tell you something. I can do all of this, but I cannot protect your sacrifice. If you and you alone are not concerned enough in order to fight the good fight of faith, you will not make heaven your home. That's how serious it is today. Now listen very carefully about Abraham, and I'm going to bring this together. Abraham, God had promised Abraham that his seed was going to be as the sands of the sea, but he had not had any child born unto him. He had no one to inherit what he had. He had nothing. Except God said there's going to be a son born of Sarah that is going to be the one that is going to spread the seed. It had not happened. And yet Abraham, the Bible said, he believed God and counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. What do you think Sarah must have felt like when she came to Abraham? Old, wrinkled, bent over, can't hardly walk, and said, honey, we're going to have a baby. What do you think? I believe Abraham would have stood up and said, well, I could have told you that a long time ago. Because God said we were going to have a seed and a son. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You see, your blessing depends on your sacrifice. And your sacrifice depends on how you take care of it and how you provide it unto God. Don't let the things of this world or the devil persuade you that other things are more important than what you have given unto God. There is nothing more important than making sure that your sacrifice is holy and acceptable unto God. Somebody say amen. Holy, it can't be full of holes. You can't let the fowls of the air pick on you and try to eat a little flesh here and a little flesh there and a little here, because pretty soon it will devour you. You cannot do that. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Now, Pastor, how do we do it? We do it by attending the house of God. We do it by getting on our knees before God at home as well as in the church. We get it by reading God's eternal word today. It's all, Brother Leonard's preached on it. We've all preached on it. Told you the importance today of protecting your sacrifice and make sure it's holy and acceptable unto God, which is what? Just your reasonable service. That's all it is. Where are you at with the Lord today? Have you kind of drifted a little bit, or maybe a little bit of doubt or complacency or fear or doubt in your life today? God wants you to drive away those foul birds that devour you and offer your sacrifice holy and acceptable unto him. Would you pray with me?
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.